got a good one. We got some insights. I got so many songs going through my head. Here's the song I'd love to play. If we had the money, Gypsy, if we had the budget, I would be playing, I'm afraid to even sing it. I Can See Clearly Now. That's the song. I want to get into that groove. I gotta learn how to play that on the guitar. But that is these wonderful moments of clarity that I have to celebrate. And I hope everyone's doing good. I want to say hi to everybody. Really glad you're here for another exciting episode and hopefully entertaining episode. You're going to learn. You're going to laugh. You're going to love. Light a candle. Line up your chakras. I'm in a mood. How are you doing over there? Let's get that out of the way very quickly. I just want to establish a baseline because I'm in a good spot mentally. I want to see where you are.
I'm very tired. I'm very tired of all the stupid. I'm very tired of the Marxists. I'm very tired of the onslaught of cancel culture all of a sudden. I'm just very tired.
Yes. Yes. And that, I believe, you know what it is? It's when you got a carrot and you got it on a stick hanging from a little piece of string and a donkey is being led around. But the donkey is just, pushing that little thing. He's keeping the wheel turning to power the mill. But they trick the donkey. That's why you're so tired. That's why I was tired all week. And then you sit alone with your thoughts. You think about stuff. And it's because we're being the donkey. We're being the donkey led around by the carrot. It's the, ooh, look at this, ooh, look at this, just keep going. And we don't even know that we're pushing the stick that keeps the mill going, that keeps everything in place and blah, 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 blah. Because here is, and we've talked about it on the show before. It's all about the narrative. And I have been thinking about it and I've weighed it and I am way more passionate about what's going on with the Russia investigation. That is really heating up. Now, I'm talking big picture stuff. If I had to say, here's what's most important, here's second, third, fourth, fifth. Listen, cops doing things, making sure the police force is all squared away, super important. Super important, because that affects my day-to-day life. Big picture, unelected officials deciding who they want to be president. That's the future of our civilization. So to me, that is more important. And that's what I want to focus on for a little bit here in the A block. There is more evidence coming. There is more subpoenas coming. The Durham thing is heating up. Big Billy Barr is doing a great job. And I saw a wonderful interview with Rick Grinnell this morning. And just the amount of red flags when he's looking at these notes and he's, going through the FISA and all this stuff. And there are still. And this made me feel good. So that's why I wanted to open with it. There were a lot of people at the FBI. There was a lot of people in the intelligence community who were like, and they wrote it down. They're like, whoa, this is dubious. This is not good. We shouldn't do this. And those people were silenced. They were put to the side. They didn't leak to the press. If you look at the, he was talking about just the amount of leaks to the press in the opening days of the Trump administration. Like when Obama became president, I think there was like 8 leaks in the first year, something crazy like that. And with Trump, it was like 129.
They ate in the first 3 hours. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just complete insanity. So that is where, yes, I'm concerned about what's going on with the riots and the this and the that. We can sort that out. We can totally sort that out. But if America is a ship, if we're a giant luxury liner, the iceberg that we have to watch out for is, for lack of a better word, the deep state. I know it's not sexy right now. I know it's not hot. There's no nudity. There's no violence. There's not a lot of sex. I mean, you get past Lisa Page and Peter Strzok And that's just
That one got a job at MSNBC.
Isn't that hilarious? Come on, let's talk about that for a second.
You just want to scream, hey, we're totally partisan. You just do that. That's as bad as McCabe getting one on CNN.
You've got, yeah.
I want them arrested at the office.
Clapper, I think, is a paid contributor somewhere. You've got Lisa Page. Like, all of these people, you sincerely, this isn't even a joke, they could be served. They could be
on
served
air.
On
air.
It would be hilarious. And I wouldn't put it past Trump to do that. Happy birthday, Mr. President. I know you listen to the show. I know you love the show. As we record this, it's the president's birthday. But that is just, like, it's beyond insane. And I want you guys to recognize that. Like, these people will be called as witnesses. There's a very good chance some of these people will be going to jail. And MSNBC is like, you should be our frickin' legal analyst. You should be our legal analyst. And it goes back to, and I wish I knew the names, but just in the difference in how the FBI handled everything, it reminds me of one of Hillary Clinton's lawyers. I forget her name. She was brought in to the FBI back in on the email thing and all this other. And they're like, hey, don't worry. This is a friendly, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think she got immunity.
Yeah,
she
Cheryl. Got,
yeah, Cheryl something.
Cheryl something. I can't remember her name either. Isn't that sad? You think you could remember these?
So
there's so many of them.
She's a suspect. I believe she gets immunity. And they do like a little thing where they don't even take notes. They don't even take notes. It's like that informal. And then they're like, hey, we're going to be talking to Cheryl Mills. We're going to be talking to Hillary in a little bit. And Cheryl Mills is like, ooh, I want to come in too. So she comes in and then represents Hillary to make sure the stories line up. That is fraudulent. That is a complete joke. And we have to focus on this. We have to fan the flames and get more people excited about rooting out the deep state and making sure people go to jail, there's accountability, and there are consequences for trying to overthrow an election. I'm sorry if you're like, ooh, what's Mike and Gypsy, what's their hot take? Listen, we'll have our hot takes on Chaz and Black Lives Matters and all that stuff, but they're going to be coming a little bit later in the show, because numero uno is making sure that our constitutional republic still works.
Well, I saw it maybe a different interview with Rick Grenell.
He's everywhere.
So sorry, he's no longer in government.
Yeah.
But he said the best way to, in the one I saw, said the best way to break up the bureaucracy in the deep state, he said, is to distribute the federal agencies throughout the country. He said, because right now it's DC against the rest of America. That thing is so entrenched.
That's a very interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very Tucker Carlson. We'll be talking about Tucker Carlson too later on. But he always says that, like, DC has turned into this. It's not America. I mean, it in more ways than one. But it really isn't. Like, nothing is real there. Nothing really hits inside the Beltway. I think that's a great idea. Decentralized.
Look at how COVID affected the Beltway and the outlying suburbs where people live. Everybody there was still getting paid. Do you know that those outlying counties in Virginia were the only places wages went up during the recession?
Mm-mm.
They're all government employees or government related.
Yeah, see, to me, that's more outrageous. That's more outrageous. It's not
outrageous.
Reality. It's not reality. It's too funny. I wrote this piece, I think I talked about it last week, a couple weeks ago at theloftistparty.com, and it's emotionally rewarding, I guess, artistically rewarding to be ahead of the curve, as we always are. Pat on the back to you and me. But it's like, we need one reality. We need one. We desperately need one reality. And this goes to the media. This goes to everything. I don't want to be a donkey chasing a carrot. I don't want to be led around by my nose. I don't want to even think I'm being lied to. Give me the facts, and then I'll make a decision. And all these people, like with DC not being affected by reality, that's problematic, you guys. That's
very
problematic. Great. Say that again.
I said very. And I mean, all the evidence you need that a uniparty exists. And I don't even know how to frame our current political debate anymore, because it's very confusing. But if you want to say there's a uniparty, a Clinton, Bushy, Obama party, right?
Yes.
All you needed to see was George W. Bush's statement after the George Floyd thing. I was just like, oh my God, this is why we have lost every cultural battle for years.
You're gonna have to hook me up and refresh my memory. What did George Bush say?
He just bought the whole narrative of systemic racism, police brutality, and put out this statement. And I'm like, this is why we lose. You're so scared to be being called a nasty name. They can't even tell the truth.
Well, that's a perfect shot. It's a perfect shot, and it's a calculated shot. In terms of a grand chess master, I've kind of salute him, because it's safe. It's I'm putting that in air quotes, noble, and all that good stuff. And it adds, you know, fuel to the fire. Okay, I want this part to burn down. Everybody look over here. And I'm gonna be taking the quote high road and making sure everybody looks over there. Let's keep that going.
Just like Mitt Romney out there marching because they think the alligator's gonna eat them last.
I love that metaphor.
They're literally the frog in the pot at that point. If you can no longer tell the truth, you are the frog in the pot.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
When they come for you, you better hope the person standing behind you hasn't jumped in yet.
We are going to have so much fun with cancel culture, Chaz, Black Lives Matter, race. We're going to have so much fun with this in the next block. We might do a little bit of it now. It's wonderful, and I'm excited, and I'm thankful at the same time. Just the whole new media aspect of it, because we can just choose, and you guys have to admit, and I want to hear your feedback. Let me know at theloftusparty.com. We'll post this up, and you guys leave comments, and thank the interaction's been going up. That's fantastic. But just you have to. I can't see how you could disagree with me that the most important thing going on in reality, you have to pick one. It has to be a group of unelected officials who are deciding who the president gets to be. And I remember a long time ago, I believe it was Steve Bannon. There was a clip of him, whatever you think about Steve Bannon, put that aside for a second. But he's like, they're not going to give this up without a fight. They're not going to give this up without a fight. And I had no idea they had this much fight in them.
Right.
But they got a boatload. I don't even know what comes next.
Oh, it'll be something.
They're going to have to, because here's what, and I'm completely serious here. This is what makes me happy in all this. It's all happening in June. It happened in May. It happened in April, right? Like the whole the Wuhan and the COVID-19. Okay. All right. So we're getting that under control. America's coming back to work. And then, okay, we got the race thing. So you still have July, August, September, October to make things better and start your own. And I think maybe that's what happened here. Hopefully it's what good Lord, if there's an October surprise, I can't even think about what the sun's going to go supernova.
It's going to be Bolton's book.
Bolton's book?
Oh, yeah. Bolton's out there yammering about his book, and his lawyers are saying, oh, yeah, well, you think Ukraine is bad. Every single foreign policy decision he made was calculated on re-election. You know what? Every single foreign policy position any president takes is calculated on re-election considerations.
Yeah.
Thanks for that newsflash, John, you mustache piece of shit. I used to respect him. I don't.
What is that? It's crazy, the flip-floppy, and it's like, it's very interesting that this, to sell a book, you would do all these things, but who knows? Who knows? I haven't read the book. Maybe it's 100% true. Maybe it's 100% lies. Maybe it's just, you know, juiced up to sell some.
Yet.
Yeah. You reminded me of another great thing, of that wonderful clip, and I cannot wait. There's so many Trump commercials I cannot wait to see, because they've got that clip of Joe Biden just sitting there on that TV show, that little conference.
The one with the face mask hanging on his ear. Did you see that one?
No, I'm talking about I'm talking about the one where he's going, so I picked up the phone and I called the Ukrainian blah blah,
and I said,
if you don't fire that guy by the end of the day, you don't get the money. If you don't do what I want, you don't get the money. And by God, he fired him. And so he got them. And it's like
that is so corrupt.
Whoa, yes. And it's in his own words. And he's bragging about it. I want to see that commercial. And what's the face mask one?
Oh, he was sitting there yammering about how he's the great racial healer, despite the fact he's been in government for 50 years and has never done a thing. And he had taken his face mask off to speak, and it's literally just like dangling from his left ear.
Yeah,
and he just keeps talking, and then he gets really confused. And you're like, this man is not even alive. I don't know how he can be a candidate.
I don't know. I don't know either. I can't
wait. The other thing on that Ukrainian, I saw something, I think last night, that the lawyer for Burisma has now been charged in the Ukraine regarding the bribe.
Oh, yes. Yes. See?
I saw that.
That's the kind of news. More Ukraine. More Burisma. Where's Hunter Biden? Deep state is real.
You go to Google and you click up Ukrainian news and you hit Google Translate. They hate the Bidens. They know the Bidens are corrupt AF.
I bet. As a Ukrainian citizen, you got to be tired of paying the bribes. You got to be.
It's
probably bad enough with the local gangs and the mafiosos and your corrupt government.
Oligarchs. But when you've
got, yeah, and then you got the mighty and powerful Joe Biden representing Uncle Sam, arguably the most powerful nation on earth, and we're supposed to represent, you know, truth, justice, and the American way, and then we're hitting
That's
you.
That's a microaggression.
And then we're hitting you up for millions of dollars so your crazy son can get paid. Okay, that is... Stay focused on that, you guys. Stay focused on this Russia thing, too. Just keep that going when you're having your little conversations with your friends. Get that going on Facebook. Let's start. This is why we need a big group of people. When I'm doing the live streams, and it's like, so we're close to 26,000. And there's a bunch of people who listen to this podcast and all this stuff. It's the reason new media exists. Is because people realized that traditional media, old school media, was just trying to lead them around by the nose. So we want to do that. I want to do it. It's why I like Trump tweeting. So stick around. We're going to come right back. We got to talk about Chaz. We got to talk about Black Lives Matter. We got to talk about John Cleese, and you're like, wow, how do these three things go together? You will be shocked.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 $3 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
So much more to talk about. Trump rallies are coming back. They're stirring up the whole COVID-19 thing again. We got the new state of Chaz in Seattle. That's probably where we'll start because it's fun. However, no, I have changed my mind. We're starting with John Cleese because that's going to be the framework for the whole segment. I don't know if you saw the tweet, Gypsy, that John Cleese put out. People forget, what a brilliant dude he is. He put out a
groundbreaking.
He's a smart hombre, and he knows how it works. He put out a tweet that just floored me because he said it eloquently. He said it in an entertaining fashion. Hopefully, we have the audio from that. I sent it to our field producer. I'd love to play a little bit for you now.
Well, the biggest advantage of extremism is that it makes you feel good because it provides you with enemies. Let me explain. The great thing about having enemies is that you can pretend that all the badness in the whole world is in your enemies and all the goodness in the whole world is in you. Attractive, isn't it? So, if you have a lot of anger and resentment in you anyway, and you therefore enjoy abusing people, then you can pretend that you're only doing it because these enemies of yours are such very bad persons. And that if it wasn't for them, you'd actually be good-natured and courteous and rational all the time. So, if you want to feel good, become an extremist. Okay.
And that's what's going on. They, for the longest time, and you and I saw it in to great effect in the early days of this podcast, leaning to the right, and then eventually, I think you're way more libertarian than I am, which is a good thing, which is awesome because it helps me learn and helps me, I think, understand things better, and I find myself leaning more towards libertarianism. But when I came out as a Trump supporter, you could see it. You could feel it. It was palpable to the way they would attack Trump support. It's dehumanizing. And to me, it's the obvious truth, the danger of justified taking over a few blocks of downtown Seattle. And the people who play into this, this is the biggest version of it. We always have that thing that we say, and it's whatever the left says you're doing, that's what they're secretly doing. Well, they've called Trump Hitler, and they've called people who support Trump Hitler in such a laissez-faire fashion that the left is, they really need a wake-up call for this very, 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 very dangerous thing that they're encouraging. Let us blame all of our ills on one part of society. That is, any journalist should be embarrassed. Anyone who calls themselves a journalist should be embarrassed. So that's why I'm not buying into it for a lot of reasons. However, now we're in dangerous territory, which brings us to Chaz. Unless did you want to chime in real quick?
If you want to tell me something systemic, you have to tell me what point of the system is creating that. Like, when I moved to Salt Lake City, Utah, I was a religious minority.
Yes. Right?
There were actually institutional things that identified me as a religious minority. Right next to my school was the seminary. If you were Mormon, you got released one period a day to go over to seminary. It was part of your educational experience. If you didn't go to seminary, everybody knew you weren't part of the majority. Do you know what that system, I mean, literally, you had the school building and right next to it, you had the cemetery on church-owned property. Mm-hmm. That's systemic. That's institutional. That's an institutional way of separating people. I need to know what the institutional thing is that's separating people. And if you tell me it's the crappy public schools in inner city, I'm going to go say, then talk to your mayor who won't go to bat against the teachers union.
And that's the great thing about it. That's the empowering thing about it is you can go, okay, well, let's talk about this system and how, okay, if there's an inequity here, we can change that. We could all of this is manageable.
Let's talk about, you know, what do they call it? Restorative justice in school that leaves students and staff feeling terrified. Let's talk about a great system that's in New York City called Success Academies. That is actually outperforming school districts in some of the wealthiest areas of New York on standardized testing and dealing with some of the toughest neighborhoods in New York City. You know who's stopping them from growing? Because there's such demand for kids to go to this school? The mayor of New York.
What? De Blasio?
De Blasio doesn't want these kids going to charter schools because then the teachers' union's going to get cranky. You want to understand who's like, developing these terrible policies and putting them into place and totally ruining these school systems, all you have to do is look at the mayor's office.
Yes, yes. And look to your local officials, your city and state officials. And in terms of federal, go look at Joe Biden. Biden's crime bill record.
If you want to talk to me about institutional racism, who owns all the institutions? Academia? Hollywood?
Yeah, well, the thing is,
all these urban areas,
these solutions aren't as sexy as let's go burn down a Wendy's. These aren't as sexy as, hey, let's go empty the shelves at a Walmart. Hey, let's turn that car on fire. I've had enough. No justice, no peace. And I know a lot of people. It's just, listen, if you're a kid and oh my gosh, if I was like in my late teens, early 20s. Hoo-wee. And with the passions and with the passion, oh my gosh,
they literally have a principal in Chicago who worked for Jesse Jackson in his Rainbow Coalition and is now getting calls to resign because she encouraged her students to peacefully protest but cautioned them against rioting and looting. I'm sorry, that sounds like an adult thing to do.
It's we're at that point, and I know there was a bunch of arguments about it, like in the French Revolution, you know, where they're just you're part of the ruling class, you're a noble, you gotta die, guilt by nobility. And I know that like Adams and Jefferson fought about this. There was very heated arguments, and Jefferson was like, "Hey, you got to do what you got to do," and there was a bunch of Americans like Adams, like, "No, we got to stop this. We got to end this. This is crazy. This is just mob violence." And Jefferson was like, "You know what? They'll figure it out at the end." And it was horrible and horrifying, and I can see kind of both sides of the argument, but. Ironically, and it's kind of historically, the first person they finally stopped with the justice when someone they were about to chop their head off, she begged for her life. She was like, "Hey, what are you guys doing? This is crazy." You know, because she was like a mistress to somebody. But we're still in that high heated emotional, you know, oh my gosh, and everybody's like addicted to the shock and awe of it all, the passion, and I call it sexy just because it's kind of hot, you know, they're out there and they're doing this thing and it's passionate. That's why I don't want anybody to do anything about Chaz. I really don't. My knee-jerk reaction is like, let's send in the SWAT team, let's gas them out, that's outrageous, da da da. And now I'm like, let it play out, let it play out, let just cordon off the area. And yes, it's not lost on me that they, the first thing they did was set up a border wall. Yes, it's not lost on me that, you know, they check your papers before you come in and out. They have like border agents and they're being run by thugs. It, that nothing's going to come from that. If something does, I'll be it's like Occupy Wall Street. It's Occupy Wall Street in downtown Seattle. A bunch of people who just want to do something. They've got some camping gear and literally they're playing house. They're playing house. So someone's going to get hurt. The cops can't get in. The paramedics can't get in. And it'll be bad. And I tell you what, if you are part of the Chaz, if you're listening to this on your little laptop, in the middle of Chaz, right, or your iPhone, like, don't even think about suing the city. You made your choice. You made your choice. You bought the ticket. Now ride that Chaz ride. I just want
updates. Counter protesters and street preachers, please just stop going in there. It's not worth making the statement.
Listen, I'm not going to judge anybody who wants to go into Chaz. If you want to go into Chaz, let's see how they handle it.
Well, they choked out a street preacher, and they beat up two people carrying an American flag. One of them, oddly, was black.
Well, that's how Chaz rolls. Chaz is colorblind.
Chaz
still used chokeholds. Go ahead.
We had a streaker today. Just running down the street, buck naked. Somebody asked him, why are you doing this? Because I can? Okay.
I don't know what combination of drugs that is. But, like,
I don't either.
When these people decide to take off all their clothes and, like, attack a gasoline pump at a Circle K, or they decide to run down the streets of Florida, or they decide to go, like, we need to interview them, like, keep them around. And as they slowly come back to sanity, when they start looking around for your clothes, that's when the interviewer should be like, so what did you take? Because we need to figure out
now.
We need to figure out what that recipe was. If it was like, oh, I took some Molly, then I had a beer, then I had half a joint, the next thing I knew I was naked. Okay, we should post that. We should post that. Like, if you don't do Molly, start drinking beer and smoke a joint, you will end up naked at a 7-Eleven at 3 o'clock in the morning. I think like people would want to stay away from that combination. That's gotta be a horrible feeling.
Now you're fat naked butt, because it's never the right people that are running around naked. It's kind of like the nude beach, right? Never the right people that decide to pick this option. So now you got your fat naked butt all over social media, jogging down with your thing swinging back and forth. Yeah.
We had one on
stupid.
I did this show, World's Dumbest, and we had this one clip. It was one of the ones that we ended up not using. It was somewhere in Hollywood, in the Hollywood Hills, and just an absolutely smoking hot girl, like mid-20s, in the middle of the road, naked, on drugs, out of her mind, trying to convince people in cars that were stopped to have sex with her. And it was just completely sad, because you instantly write
your
backstory.
She'd had a little too much X, I guess.
I immediately goes to, she was up the hill at somebody's rented mansion. She was making porn, or maybe she didn't want to do it. And they were like, no, take these drugs. You'll love it. And then she just went out of her mind and just, it was bad. It was really bad. Nothing funny about that one. Okay. So we're going to get into a little bit of the cancel culture of it all, because that's what they're doing. They're just getting rid of people that, don't agree with them, or they don't want to agree with them, or they think, like, the opinion, it's very funny, ironic, I guess, to watch these opinion page editors get fired for having opinions. And it's coming from inside the building. You have, like, supposed journalists going, hey, you're picking the wrong fight. You're picking the, because you aren't biased enough, you have to be fired. And it's working. people are resigning because they're not being incredibly biased towards being anti-Trump. This is that's the epitome of fake news and the problem with the media. The cancel culture has come for the show Cops. It's come for
LAPD.
Yeah, live PD. Supposedly
Paw Patrol.
They're coming for Paw Patrol. And what do these things all have in common? They show police officers doing their jobs, and they show cops being human beings and being fallible. And
what they actually have to deal with. I mean, cops is basically a dash cam and vest cam show.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what cops actually have to deal with, or people might have some sympathy for them.
Yes.
So that's the real reason they want those shows off the air. They're also coming for Law and Order.
Ha!
And SVU. And back to John Cleese, they took an episode of Fawlty Towers off because it was too racially charged. And Gone with the Wind. I guess Gone with the Wind is actually coming back, but it's going to have some prequel to it where they tell you everything that's wrong with it because you're too stupid to put it in historical context yourself.
Well, here is once again, we were talking in the A block. We were talking about George Bush taking that perfect shot. You know, I'm just going to chime in on police brutality. I look good and it'll also reflect poorly on Trump. That's a thread the needle. Great shot. HBO. It used to be called HBO Go, whatever their streaming service is now. Them pulling Gone with the Wind is such a hollow gesture and such a silly gesture, but it got them so much press. I admire them. And I think that's what the BBC was doing with the Fawlty Towers. I hadn't thought of the movie Gone with the Wind in years. I've never thought, ooh, I should sit down and watch Gone with the Wind. And like Fawlty Towers, which is brilliantly funny, I almost completely forgot it existed. So the BBC going, hey, we're going to pull this episode. It's a great piece of virtue signaling and getting some people talking about it. It's incredibly dangerous. And I honestly, with Gone with the Wind, and this is the other wonderful thing. Like, I don't know if you could have a more female-powered, girl-centric, pro-feminist movie. And that's like 1939, I want to say. Maybe 38, Gone with the Wind. But who's our hero in that? Scarlett O'Hara. She's not getting what she wants. She loses everything. She starts over. And she, you know, comes out kind of victorious in the end. Who knows? She gets her comeuppance. But that is like, that's a feminist movie. The hero of that piece is Scarlett O'Hara. And then I'll say this, too, about I don't know what the offensive part is. Is that the black maid, Butterfly McQueen, that she was on the surface okay with everything? On the surface, she was happy to in her role as the maid to Scarlett O'Hara and was probably one of the smartest ones in the movie. She was the Jiminy Cricket. She was one of the smartest one in the movie. Are we supposed to believe that? I don't want to get in trouble here. There's
now, the other effect, like the truly offensive part to me about when they chose to do it. It was actually that actress's birthday, and she was the first black person to win an Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate irony?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're literally erasing an achievement at that point.
Well, this is...
Like,
this
why
is
would
what,
you do that?
Yeah, well, they didn't know. They obviously, they didn't know. They didn't do their research. They did it either. And it's like with the Trump rally in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, hey, color me a moron, but I didn't know about Juneteenth. But you know what? I'm into Juneteenth. Let's do it. That's the Emancipation Day. That's a good day. That's a freaking
I think the best thing Trump could do is declare it a national holiday.
Well, like, that's what I was...
Give those mailmen another day off.
I was mildly offended. The president of the United States can't have a rally on what should arguably be a holiday? Like, are you... You're saying, and that's the other thing that's just implying the guy's a racist. Trump is... their narrative is he's such a such a horrible, hateful person that he's doing this on the very day of the people he wants to oppress being free. That's what I find offensive about it. That's why I didn't want him to change. I'm like, no, you leave it on that date. And then I'll tell you this. And this is where there's two sides to every issue. There are two sides to every issue. There was a wonderful show on HBO called The Watchmen, which I don't know if you ever saw it. Some of the best television writing I have ever seen. Literally, that show should just win award after award after award. And it was a sequel and blah, 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 blah. The opening episode to that, and this is where the Black Lives Matter people have a point, and I'm going to give credit where it's due. The opening episode takes place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on Black Wall Street, on the day where it was just a wholesale slaughter of black people. It was just horrifying, and I had never heard of this. So I'm watching the show The Watchmen, and this black kid is going down the street, or he's at the movie theater, and, you know, all of a sudden explosions are going off, and there's gunshots, and there's planes, and like the Chiron on the bottom of the screen says like Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1940, whatever. And I'm just like, what? And then I'm such a fool. I'm like, oh, this has to be an alternate reality. This has to be like Earth 2 or something. I had never heard of this. And so I watch this episode and I'm like, okay. And then I go on Google and I look it up and I'm like, oh my Lord, that really happened. That really happened. And that's one of those things where you just can't gloss that over. You just cannot gloss that over. That is a blemish. However, I will say this. Go watch The Watchmen if you haven't seen it. We've gone long in this block. Oh my gosh, we still have the Dave Chappelle special to talk about. We still have Candace Owens to talk about. Probably some more. Oh my gosh, SpongeBob. The things they're saying about SpongeBob. And probably some more cancel culture. We got so much to get off our chest. Oh, and food banks. T-shirts and food banks. So much goodness. Stick around.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
A word of warning about this next block. This could get a little racy. Some of the language might be a little racy. So if you've got the podcast cranked up in your place of work, this is probably a good time to put on the headphones just in case. As we continue on with the show, and this is like we like to do entertainment, culture, stuff like that. we got to talk about the Dave Chappelle special that he just put out for Netflix. Dave Chappelle, I think it's called 8:46 or 8:49. It's the exact same amount of time that the cop had his knee on George Floyd's neck. I tried to watch it because as a comedian, you just have to recognize how wonderful Dave Chappelle is. You just have to recognize. And if you're not a comedian, you've watched Dave Chappelle and you've laughed and blah, blah, blah. The dude is amazing. He's brilliant. I think the word genius is overused. He's not a genius, but he can see it from his porch. So he did a special for Netflix. Dave Chappelle 8:49 or 8:46, whatever. You can see it. It's all over YouTube, blown up on YouTube. And my knee-jerk reaction was he starts off, he did it in Yellow Springs, a wonderful neighborhood in right outside of Dayton in Ohio. I spent a lot of good days at Yellow Springs. So that, anyway, he has people coming onto this piece of property, and they're socially distant, and they're the seating and all this and da-da-da. And then Dave Chappelle comes out, and he goes, you have to recognize, this is historic. This is historic. This is the first comedy show back. This is the first comedy show, and I'm already offended. And I'm like, Dave, please. I was in a comedy club. I was on stage at the Addison Improv 2 weeks ago. Neener, neener, I beat you to it. I was first, and I'm not going to let history be changed. I didn't say, hey, look at me. I just went and quietly did it. But if people are going to start claiming they were first, you might want to step back. You might want to step back because I was there. So to his credit, though, he does this show and it's outside and it's not a comedy special. It isn't. Listen, he's a great mind. He's a brilliant thinker. And he, the way he passionately, it's something that's good to watch. It is what it is. And he's fantastic, and he's a great personality, and he's very passionate and all that stuff. I just want to say this about it really quickly. He knows he doesn't have jokes. He knows he doesn't have jokes. Because I've been there too. When you start talking about politics on stage, like in your head, you're like, ugh. And you can see him. He keeps opening up his notebook and kind of like he's realizing he's not doing jokes. So what he ended up doing, because there wasn't comedy there. There just wasn't comedy there. He took some shots at Candace Owens. And this is where he doesn't have the material to do it, so he just starts talking about how Candace Owens her pussy must stink. It just got a stank. I don't know. I guarantee it stank. And it's like that's a totally cheap shot and not even based in reality because it's like. Candace, I know he disagrees with her on this, and he does it, but like if you're gonna take a shot at Candace Owens, I don't think there's a lot of I don't think a lot of people look at Candace Owens and go, yeah, I bet she's stanky down there. I don't think that's like a common reality. Now, to her credit, I don't know if you saw Candace's response to this, but she comes back. I saw the special. I know things were said, but I'm in a Dave Chappelle special. I think he's brilliant. I think he's awesome. She took the highest of the high roads and made me like her even more. I was bummed with Chappelle doing that.
I thought it was kind of he was pretty upset and. I think he made some pretty good points, but that was just cheap. Like, attack the ideas, don't attack the individual. He's better than that because he's very smart.
Yes.
Very smart.
That's like you perfectly encapsulate it. You're better than that. And if you got a problem with Candace, yeah, meet her. Go brain to brain with her. But just to take this and I tell you what, I bet Dave would love to know. I bet Dave would love to know if there's any reality to his little accusation. And I don't think he's ever going to get that opportunity. It takes me back to this. And no one says a word about it. No one, other than this show, comes, you know, writing to Candace Owens' defense. My God, I give her so much credit for taking the high road on that. And it takes me back to someone made a very bad idea or had a bad idea, and they thought it would help her sell a lot of books. But a long time ago, there was a Comedy Central roast of Ann Coulter. And I have never been ashamed and then angry. And then, like, that is one of the most disgusting pieces of television that you will ever see. They, I think they set a new record for calling her the C word, like everybody. And it was just, it was hurtful. They can't, you can't go toe-to-toe. She is a smart woman. Whatever you think of Ann Coulter, she is a smart woman. She can back up her arguments. She will dismantle you. So that is like, and I know it's not meant to be hacky, but it's, I really feel like someone, and I know I did it on Twitter, but it's like, whatever you think of Ann Coulter, if you want to attack her ideas, but just to stand on TV and have call her a cunt over and over again, and then have people applaud and laugh, and it's just like, what is this? Who let her do that? And then, oh, Dave Chappelle, it's a wonderful, wonderful special. He very bravely attacks Candace Owens. Look, just horrible. Dave Chappelle.
Well, again, I have no problem if you want to attack someone's ideas.
Yes.
You know, I really don't. But to attack someone's looks, to attack someone personally in a way that really doesn't make any sense for what you're trying to say. And I mean, Chappelle had a point. He articulated it prior to that. He's a very smart man. Maybe he was just too angry about everything because it was probably the most angry special I've ever seen him do.
Yeah.
He could have pulled that off better. And I just don't. That's kind of where I stop listening.
Well, like, it's the
personal attack stuff. If you want to attack the ideas, if you want to mock what somebody says, then that's fine. But yeah, I just, after that, he just kind of lost me and I stopped watching because I'm like, that's really beneath you, dude. You're better than that.
It's yes, he is. And he knows it. And it goes to a bigger problem with the culture, which freaking Denzel Washington pointed out in a clip that's going around. Well, now, like, Chappelle knew he wasn't ready. He knew he wasn't ready. Now, when he's just doing jokes, I've heard stories from buddies of mine about Chappelle going to the Cellar in New York and just ripped from the headlines, this, that, and insanely funny. But with this subject matter, to call it a comedy special, he wasn't ready. He shouldn't have filmed it. But the reason you film it, the reason you convince yourself to do it, is because it's something's better than nothing. I gotta go now. I gotta strike while the iron's hot. And so there's this big focus, and this is part of the media too. It's not about, it certainly isn't about being right. It certainly isn't about being factual. It's about having this hot take. It's just ooh, I got an opinion on this right now. Boom, 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 boom. And the more bombastic it is, and the more louder, and the more inflammatory it is, the more clicks it gets, and then it backs that all up. And that is a very dangerous, it is a black hole of free thought, and it is just an avalanche of stupid. It's a tornado of destruction, and everybody needs to take a deep breath. And I've had a lot of people come at me trying to help. And I know their heart's in the right place, and they're like, you need to just get more fired up and inflammatory. Like, I want to be part of the solution. I will tap out of all of this. I will tap out of all of this if it's just about saying inflammatory things for the sake of saying something inflammatory so somebody will click and then they'll join. It's like, that's just, that doesn't do anybody any good. Like, all of this stuff can be solved. Like, all of our problems can be solved. And then if you look around, we're doing great. We are doing great. America just keeps getting safer and safer. And things just keep getting better and better. And the future looks bright. And I'm sorry if that's not sexy and hot and ooh, he was really shaking his fist on that one. But like, listen, I'll talk to anybody. How can we make improvements in the police department? And hey, how do we make sure that we still have good cops out there? And because Lord knows we need them. You don't want to live in a world without police. I want to.
Yeah, look at the Chaz.
Yeah, look at the Chaz.
I mean, the police chief is the only one in Seattle telling the truth. The mayor's all, it's a block party. The chief is out there. Guys, you were holding the city. You were doing your jobs. Thank you so much. It was not my decision to leave the precinct. We got to get it back. We're getting 3 times the calls out of that area because you have residents that live there.
Yeah.
That have nothing to do with the Chaz. That are like terrified to leave their homes.
Oh my goodness. And then you're going to have to start paying extortion money because when the Chaz people do run out of food, it's not going to be too hard to go, okay, there's a grocery store 2 blocks over. What we'll do is we'll take a bunch of people and we'll just go hit that grocery store. And then you've got to go old school. You got to have employees on the roof of the grocery store with firearms. I mean, it's not too hard to imagine
this getting
where
completely
this all
out of hand.
Yes. Yes, but I'll let them have the Chaz for right now.
I literally do not want President Trump to send in the military. If Governor Inslee gets sick enough of it, he can use the National Guard. But not one drop of blood and treasure from our United States military for these stupid, hairy, smelly, disgusting communists that are in the Chaz right now. These people are so dumb they can't even plant a plant. Go look at pictures of their garden. They didn't even bury the root.
That was sad.
I'm like, you guys planted enough for a salad for one vegan. One salad for one vegan.
In about 6 months.
Exactly. Like, this was your plan? And then the mayor, I went and visited the community garden. Okay, so none of you people have ever seen a cow. You probably never planted a garden before, and you take the plants out and you lay them on the ground. Like, that's going to work.
I love the other night they were playing dodgeball. They're playing
and
dodgeball.
And it totally disintegrated.
Right. It's just like, let it keep going. Let it keep going. I got to say something before I forget. If you haven't been watching the Facebook live streams that we do on Wednesday night, here's what we did. A couple weeks ago, we came up with a specialty T-shirt. It's the Loftus Party logo, Serious Happiness, and then below it says Essential AF. And the money from that we raised from selling those T-shirts, goes to food banks because there's still people with the whole COVID-19 and they can't go to work. They're afraid, whatever. And so literally the food bank lines are a mile long, and that's still going on. So I rounded it up. I rounded it up, and I had some listeners say that they would. Bottom line is, it's going to be $400. So we're going to buy some people some food. We're going to at least they won't have to. A few people won't have to worry for a little bit. So we're going to do $200 to a food bank in Los Angeles, and $200 to a food bank here in New York, because that's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep building and keep growing. And talking about the things that matter and making fun of the hypocrites and coming to the defense of Candace Owens. And I want to go on the record for coming to the defense of Tucker Carlson. The other side has a boatload of people, and they have They get a lot of support and they get a lot of attention. They get a big spotlight. And this is like a little, this little community that we're building against all odds, you guys. Against all odds, we're building this community and it's continuing to grow. So we'll continue to do good things and come to the defense of Tucker Carlson. If you have watched that show at all in the past few weeks, like, there's nothing that it's not like he's starting riots. He's, in my opinion, you know, and I want to get your thoughts on this too. It's he's dead on. He's absolutely 100% correct. Like, I know they don't like him because of that. And if you want to have, if you want to have an honest debate, I'd love to watch it. Let's watch that honest debate. But they don't want it, and they have a system in place. And I say they, which is anybody who opposes Tucker Carlson, Media Matters, all these other groups. They have a system in place. They have a very large group of people, and they can just go directly to the advertisers and go, we will, just the threat of a boycott, and the advertisers move their money. And then that's bad. And then, because you're expecting the Fox News people to behave as businessmen would and go, holy smoke, this show doesn't make any money. We're losing money on the show. Let's get rid of them. That's not good. That is not good. We need to be able to have discussions and have debates. And I don't see Tucker Carlson telling people, quick, go to your shotgun rack and fill it up and go down to 4th and Main. And it's nothing like that.
It's don't cave to the mob.
Yes.
Don't apologize to this bizarre secular religion that now has redefined original sin and believes in collective guilt, so you can't even apologize.
Yeah.
And be forgiven.
Yeah, it is.
Literally, we have indiscernible code, like the Bible, except we call it grievance studies. We have interpreters, like priests, except they're SJWs who tell you what you got to say and how you got to say it, because God forbid, even if you're trying to be supportive and say it wrong, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have rituals because we're washing feet, kneeling, and doing these weird chants and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And if you don't participate, you can be excommunicated. And if they threaten to excommunicate you and you do apologize and you get to stay, but you never get done apologizing, like Drew Brees, who made the terrible sin of saying he actually respects the flag and the service of his family members.
Yeah.
So if he hadn't apologized, he would have been excommunicated. And if you don't learn your lesson, then you become a heretic. Well, I started out at heretic because I haven't been buying into this crap for the last 10 years, and I'm not going to buy into it now. I wasn't a racist when I objected to Barack Obama's policies.
Yes.
And I would have objected to those policies, the same ones that are coming out of Joe Biden's mouth. I still object.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't a racist then. I'm not a racist now. I'm not going to apologize for something I've never done. And I'm certainly not going to apologize for things that happened 200 years ago that didn't even involve my family.
Exactly. So. And I'll point this out as we, you know, come to the end of another broadcast day. There is a wonderful article that I put at theloftistparty.com. It's also up on Facebook. When Obama was they came to Obama when he was president. And they're like, hey, we should change the names of these military bases. And he said no. Obama said no. He didn't want to change the names. Now, you can say whatever you want about that. What he said is, like, those names were put on there in the spirit of reconciliation. A lot of these monuments were put up to help, and this is just a cautionary tale.
Reconstruction to heal, yes, the nation.
Yeah, so to help heal, we're going to put up this monument. And a lot of these monuments, some of these guys are like, they realized the error of their ways. They opened up, you know, African-American schools, and they did this and that. And, you know, it's about salvation, but nobody cares about that now. So the reason you hate these statues and the reason you hate these big things is because at that point in time, someone who thought they were smarter than you thought it was a great idea. So when you think ripping them down is a great idea, just hold your horses. Take a deep breath. Everybody needs to take a deep breath. Oh. And I know no one wants to hear that. And here's Okay, we'll round it out with the things that I'm sick of hearing, and some things that you're sick of. Like, we all knew the COVID-19 thing was coming back. Whenever I see somebody warning me about wearing a mask, and here comes COVID-19,
no,
blah, blah,
that's
I'm
over.
Sick of hearing that. I'm sick of hearing that.
That's over. You can't do that again. Healthy people are not going to quarantine again. Sorry.
No. And I'm getting kind of tired of people going, I just want this to be over. I just want, listen, hey, I understand where you're coming from when you say, I want it to be over. Just stating what you just want on Facebook isn't going to make any change. And this is a great reminder that our system of government, the best one ever invented, is messy. And sometimes it's messier than others, but it's not all sunshine and lollipops. We're doing this on our own. We're supposed to be doing it on our own. This is supposed to be regular people getting involved in their communities and helping make the world better. We're all supposed to be personally doing our best to make our lives better, our fellow man's better. Well, that's what we're tasked with. And for people to go, I just want it to be over. Like, the next time you want to type that onto Facebook, I just want this to be over. What can you do? I guarantee if you go out and take action, raise money for a food bank, come up with a crazy idea, go do something for someone, you will feel better for yourself. And we're going to make America and the world a better place. That's how it is. I wish I had more things that I'm sick of hearing, but I don't want to. I think that was a nice little note to wrap it up on. You be the best person you can be. Once upon a time, there was a guy named Jordan Peterson. God bless him.
Back.
Yeah, and he was like, clean your room, make your bed, that kind of thing. That's where
straight.
It starts.
Tell the truth.
Yes. Yes. He
I
was exactly right.
Right behind me.
Yeah. It starts right there. And I know this for me. Like, I battle depression. I have bouts of depression and anxiety. And the thing that always works is taking an action. Go do something. And it works every time. So do that, you guys. It's all messy, but it's not hopeless. I'm full of hope, and I'm full of optimism, and I'm full of good cheer towards my fellow man. All right. That was a great show. We might have some special guests coming up. We might have some special guests. That's all I'm gonna say. You're definitely gonna want to keep listening. We will see you guys next time.